Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, third hour, Tiki and Tierney. Going to get the Baker and the Browns here. Looking forward to that. Then we'll hit some Dallas Cowboys stuff. And, of course, with Dallas this year, it's not going to be favorable. We're coming from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Hopefully everybody is enjoying the start to the week here. Appreciate you hanging with us, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Of course, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, radio.com, Apple iTunes, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. All the content goes there. Make sure you go subscribe, check it out, click the bell. Something new happens, a new interview, new take, something good. You'll get the alert right away in real time. So I think we're all up to speed. A lot of World Series today, a little Big Ten to welcome them back, and some other college football items. Tennessee and the Steelers hit that to start. AB, as Bruce Arians changes his tune, we've packed it all in, and now we get to get a little bit more deeply into the Browns. Listen, I mean, this was – the way this was going, I was like a – it's funny. I was very close to burying Baker on social media yesterday. Mm-hmm. Very close to it.
Yeah.
And I was – the fingers – I wasn't tweeting a lot. Don't like to tweet too much during the games. Usually I like to tweet positive stuff, like a great play bouncing around red zone, oh, or, you know, questionable call. I don't want to be Mr. Negative on Sundays, except when it comes to my team, the team that I don't reference anymore, and that's very easy to do. Oh, by the way, indulge me for 1 second before I forget.
Go ahead.
Get right back to Baker. So yesterday, I'll say their name, the Jets, right? The New York Jets had 4 yards in the second half. And now I just want to put this in interesting terms for you.
Yeah. By the way, this is incomprehensible.
4 yards.
They had 4 yards.
4 yards of offense. It wasn't raining. Wasn't like it was up and out in Denver. Not snowing. Not windy. Not rainy. Sunny. Pretty benign. 4 yards. Not 4 points. Not two safeties. 4 yards of offense. Right. So you say, well, that's a rough day at the office. How rough of a day at the office? From home plate to first base, that's 90 feet, all right? Where Max Muncy's bat went after it actually flipped and ricocheted off the turf and went forward by about 2 or 3 feet is roughly the same amount of space that the Jets generated in the second half. This much?
Yep.
Just about. What?
Yeah, no, it's pathetic. The Bills beat the Jets without recording a touchdown or a punt. It's the first time that that's happened since 1941. A team won a game without scoring a touchdown or punting the football one time.
That's amazing. So I was a little negative when it comes to that team, which is understandable and fully justified. But, you know, I like to enjoy it as a fan and hop around and watch the greatness and admire the greatness as I usually do, if I even tweet on a football Sunday, and I'll usually drop a few in. So anyway, I'm just about to get on Baker, like the one counter negative tweet. I was like, he looks 0-for-5. This week he said, you know, 4-2 is like 0-6. And here we are, almost the literal halfway point of season number 3 for the first overall pick. Teak, it might be a little hyperbolic to say that this changes everything, how he's going to be perceived and maybe contractually down the road. But symbolically, what he did after that heinous start, the pick, the 0-for-5,
yep,
was remarkable.
No, it definitely was. He was 0-for-5 with an interception. Then he finished, completing his next 17 straight passes, and ultimately threw for 5 touchdowns out of those, including the game winner with, you know, almost no time left on the clock. Baker's turned into a steadying force for this Cleveland Browns team. Now, it helps when you have so many weapons, BT, but it's also, I think it's what you should have expected. Again, let's go back to what we said many times at the beginning of the season, Pete. This is his fourth head coach and his third offensive coordinator in as many seasons. In 3 years, he's had three offensive coordinators. So having an understanding of where you're supposed to go with the ball versus certain coverages and, you know, what's your one look, quick look, I got to get this out of my hands situation. You know, where are my shots, etc. He's had to change that three times. And he didn't come from an offense like this at Oklahoma. It was wide open in this spread that Lincoln Riley used to run. So it's been different for him for the last four seasons. And it seems like he's finally starting to get it, and he's finally starting to feel comfortable, which makes him and this division so interesting. Other than the Cincinnati Bengals, who we talked about earlier, who are completing a rebuild, they have their quarterback, and that's amazing. But they're in a rebuild right now as they try to find a new identity with Zach Taylor. All these other teams, BT, are viable.
Yeah,
they're all got five wins. The Ravens got five and one. The Browns are 5-1, and the Steelers are 6-0. The AFC North is like a powerhouse, even though you don't look at them as a powerhouse conference. At least over the last couple of years, you haven't.
Well, I'm going to make sure, and I'm not sure that you're not doing this, but just to make sure that we're on the same, I'm going to put the Browns a good step behind, maybe even a step and a half behind.
Oh, yeah, because when they played the two other teams in this conference, they've given up 38 points and only scored 6 and 7.
That's true. The opener against the Ravens and then most recently, true.
That's right.
All right, so we're on the same page with that. They are wild card viable. The other teams are Super Bowl viable.
Yes.
All right. You know, Baker Mayfield, to me, is – I wonder if we have to reset how we talk about the – because we kind of – like, we're conditioned to say, you know, oh, myriad weapons. Oh, he's got a ton of weapons. All right. Okay, but let's actually examine that for a second. Odell Beckham Jr. barely played yesterday.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb hasn't played in a month. One of the three or four best running backs, certainly top five running backs in all the football. I know he's got a good offensive line, and I know he does have weapons, but I do think it's a little misleading the way the weaponry is presented.
Yeah, of course. Even David Njoku.
I don't think he's got the weapons of Kansas City, even of Seattle at this point, maybe, of the Steelers. I don't see that.
Yeah, Njoku's missed three games as well. He scored a touchdown. So I think you're right about that. He doesn't have all the weapons that you would think. Now, the beauty of it in Cleveland is that their defense is getting after people and creating turnovers. They're still number one in the league in turnover differential. And Myles Garrett had, what, two sacks and a forced fumble on a strip sack. I mean, they make it very uncomfortable for opposing offenses. So they're balancing themselves. But I think, you know, just to focus on the offensive side, even if they lose XYZ player, in this case, you know, there's two examples you gave, Nick Chubb and Odell Beckham Jr. Jarvis Landry's not a bad receiver. You know
no,
what I mean?
But he's very good. But
he's not a game
one.
Changer. He's not like one step I'm to the house type of player. I hear you, but he's still very good as a wide receiver. You know, Kareem Hunt is as good a running back as there is in the backup role in the National Football League. You know what I mean? So it's not like they fall off to no names if the top guys get hurt, and so he benefits from that. They're actually well constructed, their offense, even though they've been the butt of, I don't know. We just make fun of them.
I think they've been the source of our consternation. How about we frame it that way?
Yes, that's a
good way to
put it.
Because we thought they'd pop last year. They didn't. And then they start this year in horrendous fashion against a good Ravens team. We're like, oh boy, here we go again.
Yep.
Then they steady the ship. They're now 5-2, you know, seemingly cruising toward a wild card spot. So now at this point, let's give Odell a little attention here. What happens with, you know, he's a speed guy, not a big guy, so he's not going to be able to body people up as he gets older and loses a little bit of speed. He's going to have his knee cut open. Where are we at with Odell? Next season at this time, what can we expect for, and really for the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, it's mostly next year will be his year 29. Season. He'll be 28 in next month. So next Tuesday, he'll be 20. He'll be no next Thursday. He'll be 28 years old. So next season, he'll be his 29th year. And we know what makes him what he is. He's got great hands and hand-eye coordination, but it's also his stop and start and I can run away from you in two steps skill set that is clearly going to be compromised when he comes back. Now, you know, how bad that's compromised, it's to be determined. Some guys come back and they don't miss a beat. Other guys come back, and usually for the older guys, like once they're close to 30, it's like you can see the hitch, and there's just a like a reluctance to hit that overdrive. Now, what do I think Odell will do? I think he'll try to be the same player. Whether or not he is that same player is to be seen. I can it's impossible to predict that, but I wonder if the Cleveland Browns are going to wait for it. You know, are they going to wait for 2 years or a year and a half before they say it's not really worth it? And so it makes you wonder, you know, what's his future with the Browns, and then ultimately what's he going to be remembered as, you know, and then like 3 years from now, because if he's another team, what's he going to be remembered as a 30 something year old, you know, early 30 year old player on his third team, who's Odell Beckham Jr. It's just an interesting legacy that he has in the NFL, because he was so tantalizing for, you know, most of his career. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like this is the worst thing that could have happened to him at 28 years old.
You know how I think I'll remember him, assuming that, you know, it's a relatively benign return to the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he comes back and he has 3 years, you know, and he gets in the right system and whatever, then obviously changes the entire scope of my opinion here. You know, he's kind of got this Dwight Gooden feel. I know Dwight was sidetracked with drugs. And I'm certainly not implying that with OBJ. But this comment I'm trying to put it in the proper words because he was so special, for such a short time, like Dwight Gooden and like a few others. And then the last 3-4 years, he's done nothing in terms of touchdowns, in terms of being a difference maker, in terms of all pro. He's got, you know, two. I don't know if you have his stats up. If you do, maybe you could verify. I believe he has 2 bolds for his career, meaning he's only led the league in 2. One was his first year yards per game with the Giants at like 108 or 109 yards, and then which is great. And then there was another one, I think, with the Giants in year 2 or year 3.
Yeah,
like
yards. Second, yeah, the yards per touch.
Yards per touch.
Yep.
And that's it, right? The only 2 bolds.
That's right.
So, you know, here's a guy who just, you know, started his career injured with the hamstring as a Giant, and made this ridiculous one-handed catch that propelled him right at the height of the social media. I know social media was obviously around before, but it was just different. That elevated his profile. That put him even more mainstream. He embraced it probably too much out there before every game. Catch him with one hand. Playing into it. And here we are. Before you know it, he'll be 30. And in a sport that is as unforgiving as any other sport out there, will probably wind up as an afterthought.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but that's how I see it.
Well, so this is his
third, for the last three, four years.
No, this is his second, even though he missed a bunch of time or 4 games in 2018, and he only missed 4. So he started 12 and he missed 4. I think that was with his foot.
It was his foot.
That was his foot. But, you know, if you include that one, so I'll give that one a half. This is his, you know, his 2.5 seasons that he's just not been available, because he played 4 games in 2017 and then he was done for the year. And then he played 7 games this year, really 6, because he only played 1 play. So 6 games this year and he's done for the year. And then that 2018 season where he missed, you know, the back end of the season, he's been injury prone. He doesn't feel like he's an injury prone guy, but he also started his career hurt. He missed the first 6 games of his rookie season before he exploded. I mean, think about this. That rookie season, he started 11 games. He had 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns.
That's why I say Dwight Gooden. I mean, that's rarefied space. Like, I put him on that line for a reason.
That's right. I mean, if he would have played 4 more games, I mean,
2,000?
He's close to 2,000 yards.
He's close.
I mean, so yeah, 100 yards a game. I mean, so I mean, it would have been crazy how good he could have been. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Unfortunately, like, how good could he have been?
Uh-huh.
One, if he hadn't, you know, if he had stayed in one place and been adored by a fan base, and then two, if he just could have stayed healthy, because his talent was so much. You know, so explosive and so just difference making for every team that he was on. Even last year, he was compromised because he had a groin injury all season long, but he was still, you know, he didn't have a bad year. He caught 1,000 yards.
Not a ton of touchdowns, but no. I hear you. Maybe part of the offense, too. So, in summation, I think what we're both saying is he'll be, unless something changes radically for the good, he'll be remembered more for what could have been than really for what was.
Yeah.
Than
that's
what
right.
was.
That's
is
right.
that fair?
Is it? Yeah, because look, he's not a championship winning player.
Nope.
Right? He's not an all-time leader on a single franchise.
Nope.
He's got some memeable and memorable and just iconic moments, but so do a lot of people. It's just it's a shame too, because it felt like he was it, and it never happened.
And then you incorporate, and I'm not going to do this now cuz it would be boring and it could be out of my lane here, but the whole biomechanics aspect of his body. I mean, who knows, as he begins to rehabilitate, he's always had other issues, whether it's the groin, whether it's the hamstring, whether it's the foot, whether it's the ankle. You have to wonder residually how, because you always tell me, once you hurt one thing, you start to compromise and to compensate, and then something else goes. He's already had other things go.
Yeah.
Not good. But we'll see. You know, we wish him well, and you know, he's a great spirit, and he had some great moments. But
No, I really like Odell.
Stats do say that Baker's better without him.
Yeah, it's true.
The stats do say that. First year, 27 touchdowns.
Yep.
Odell was with your Giants, not the Browns.
And I just felt like he was finding his way here. And now.
But he was just complaining. I didn't feel that way.
No.
He was just complaining.
No, not really. He was complaining because he was complaining because he got taken out of the game. He didn't want to get taken out of the game. That's why, I mean, I get it. I actually prefer him that way. Like, don't take me out of the game. I know we're getting our heads beat in, but I still want to go play. I still want to be a part of this. And they took him out of the game. So I get it. The ironic thing is they took him out to keep him healthy, and then in the first play of the next game, he tears his ACL.
I hear you. All right, T, coming up. Boy, imagine basically like having a team almost like smash your quarterback with a sledgehammer and standing around watching and doing nothing about it. The Dallas Cowboys, we know they don't have a lot of talent at this point on defense. The Dallas Cowboys have no heart. They got no stones. What they went through yesterday, what they allowed to happen under their watch – was unforgivable in the sporting sense. We're going to get to that. Mike McCarthy finally said something right about his team. He finally has the pulse of his team. We'll get to that coming up next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Free lines, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. So, as you know, the Washington football team with a route. And massive props and prayers to Ron Rivera. The video that they, as a quick aside, the video Washington put up that's circulating, everybody's had, you know, I don't know if everybody's seen it, but all the outlets have put it out there. So if you haven't jumped on social media yet, you want to warm the heart up, go check this out. Ron Rivera walking out of the hospital, ringing the bell, and every employee showering him with confetti. The human spirit fully on display. It was awesome. That was great. Washington played well, right? I mean, if you by all means weigh in on the Ron Rivera stuff.
Yeah, he's obviously had his last cancer treatment. For those who don't know what BT's alluding to, he's not cancer free, but he's beaten the stage of it, which is pretty amazing. Obviously, I have a history with this. My mom being a longtime survivor of cancer, when that moment happens and you feel like you've turned the corner, it's emotional, it's uplifting, it's meaningful, not just for Ron Rivera and his family, but for all those who know someone who's had the same exact issue.
Well said. So Washington plays well, show a little life, and Dallas was dormant really from the get-go. They got absolutely destroyed, didn't score a touchdown. Dalton got hurt. There's two layers here. Let's first, then I want to ask you a question about what they should do. I want to throw an idea by you. Let's hear from McCarthy, who, let's face it, hasn't really struck much of a tone, or at least the proper tone, that, you know, the he hasn't resonated with this Cowboys team. And if he has, then their roster is even just worse than we think, because it seems like there's no emotional connection here. And he was asked, well, you'll hear it. I think it has the question. Go ahead, guys.
None of your players reacted in an angry fashion to take up Andy. I mean, I know no one condones violence, but shouldn't someone have gotten Boston's face?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, a hit that caused a disqualification. But, yeah, well, I mean, we speak all the time about playing for one another, you know, protecting one another. Definitely it was probably not the response that you would expect.
All right, so let me get this straight. So this past week, because you and I spent many segments on it on this show, multiple anonymous players off the record in terms of their names, but obviously the quotes, to Jane Slater from the NFL Network, just eviscerating everything about the coaching staff from a lack of faith and the lack of conviction in their ability to coach up the players to, I mean, you name it, their coaching acumen and talent was completely railroaded. So yeah, you follow that up, right? And by the way, nobody refuted it strong. Not a single Cowboys player said, not true, not a reflection. So it was not refuted. So they say that, nobody refutes it. Then they come out in a chance to at least show that that's not the culture, and they get their asses handed to them. Yeah. What in the world? Mike McCarthy might get fired after 1 year, man.
Well, I mean,
he might get fired.
There's certainly going to be a change at some point, whether Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator, is a sacrificial lamb. They've given up 20 points in the first half.
He should be fired now. He's terrible.
Of six consecutive games, BT. That's just bad. But to BT's point about Mike McCarthy not having a pulse on his team and not being the inspiration for this team, it feels like they've quit. They just don't care. And it shows when you lose to a Washington football team that's piloted by Kyle Allen, who, I mean, he's a good kid, and he played really well. Antonio Gibson, their running back, played well also. But Kyle Allen should not be doing this to you. And with 6 minutes and 30-so seconds left in the third quarter, when John Bostic, who is a linebacker for the Washington football team, destroys Andy Dalton as he's sliding. He's well into a slide, and John Bostic comes and lays into him. He doesn't go helmet to helmet, but he goes shoulder to helmet. It knocks off Andy Dalton's helmet. He's clearly unconscious and concussed. And the Dallas Cowboys, offensive linemen, wide receivers, tight end, running back, they're just kind of like meandering around. Maybe one guy goes over and is like, oh, you all right? There was no fight. If that happens to your quarterback, you're punching the nearest opposing color. Seriously, that's what you're supposed to do. And you got not even a get in your face to the nearest opposing color from the Dallas Cowboys. So what Mike McCarthy is saying is right. We expect more when your quarterback gets drilled like that by an opposing team. They did nothing, which tells you there is no fight in this Dallas Cowboys team at all. No fight, there's no care, there's no want to, there's no nothing. They don't give two you know what's about their teammates, and it shows when something like that happens. Yes, Andy Dalton's not Dak Prescott. He's not your guy, but he's still your quarterback. Yep. You go protect him or do something about it, and they did nothing. This is spiraling. Like, what's happening in Dallas is just spiraling. It started with, you know, ineptitude defensively at the beginning of the season, and you know, maybe it was an anomaly. It's a new coaching staff. We'll figure it out. And then it continued, and it kept going, and then Dak gets hurt, and then Zeke can't hold on to the damn football, and then you get your quarterback knocked out on an opposing team's player, and you do nothing about it? I mean, America's team. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, America's team. Not too willing to throw up the hands a little bit. I mean, that's you got to do what you got to do. I don't care. You know, I don't want to start saying stupid stuff. So, no. but the point is that, you know, whether it's Danny White or Roger Staubach before that, or obviously Tony Romo, you know, or Quincy Carter, Vinny Testaverde, or Drew Henson. It doesn't matter, because this goes back to a story years ago that Rick Carlisle told me when he was traded to the Knicks in 1987. He was there in his first game, played like 20 games for the Knicks. He did nothing. And he comes in, nobody even knows him, really, and they're playing Seattle's the Supersonics at the Garden. Xavier McDaniel's trying to rough him up, and he's roughing him up. And the way Carlisle told me the story, All of a sudden, Rick feels this huge arm go over Rick's ear, and he grabs Xavier McDaniel by the jersey. He pulls him. He says, that's my boy. That's my teammate. Who was it? It was Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
The point being, Rick Carlisle is somewhat commensurate here to Andy Dalton. In the grand scheme of thing, Andy Dalton's not going to do anything for Dallas, and Rick Carlisle did nothing for the Knicks. That's not the point. It's the color on the jersey or the logo on the helmet. That is an embarrassment. That is beyond disgrace. So let's fast forward this because we can destroy Dallas for the next 10 minutes and we would be justified. Let me tell you who would win games for this team.
Who?
Fitzpatrick. He would win games. You're telling me that if Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing – now, I know that they got the front seven, all the first-round picks, Washington, and I like the direction they're going, and they're tough and they're competitive. I know that. But you're telling me that Ryan Fitzpatrick's not hooking up with Amari or with Gallup or with CeeDee Lamb? They're not making plays? Of course they're going to score some points. Trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, Miami probably would not be amenable to it because they want to see how Tua's hip holds up.
Yep.
They like the relationship as the tutelage, the you know, Obi-Wan, if you will. Make the call.
Yeah. Because he's a veteran, he'll get it done.
Make the
call.
But
here's the other question, BT.
Alco presents you make the call.
Remember that? Yeah, right. Let's go into it since you're going to say a trade. Yeah. How about a future planning? If you're the Dallas Cowboys and currently you are 2-5,
yep,
you're unlikely to get the number one pick in the NFL draft because the New York Jets have zero chance of winning football games. Zero.
I can't dispute that.
Right? But if you are Jerry Jones as the general manager and Dak Prescott's got a broken leg, and you know you got to pay him a ton of money, you think he's your guy, you want him to be your guy, but maybe you're in a rebuild more than you want to admit because your offensive line is horrendous right now.
Okay.
Some of it's circumstance. Do they want to win football games right now? Or would you be interested in Justin Fields maybe? Or at least Justin Fields to put pressure on Dak Prescott's team. You don't want to sign your deal? Great. We're going to draft a quarterback with the number two or three pick in the NFL draft. I mean, maybe. Just thinking. That's just a conspiracy theory that's out there.
I was typing. I was listening to you, but I wanted to have the draft order. Because there's this great website called Tankathon.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's like the only thing I've had to pay attention to the last few years with my team. So obviously, you know, that team number one, your team at 1-6, but I don't
see them going either.
I agree. So specific to your Dallas question,
where is Dallas now?
I'm getting there. The Jaguars are third. They're taking a quarterback, 100%. Minshew's, you know, it's done.
Yeah.
The Falcons are number four. I think they stick with Maddie for another year.
I do. They can't afford to not to. Even if they trade him, it's still very punitive to their cap.
Exactly. Financially based. Plus, he's still pretty good. But
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Dude, he threw for 300 and whatever, 50 yards.
I hear you. And they got good receivers, too. You might trade Julio because Gage seems like he could fit. And Ridley's, you know, whatever. Not to get sidetracked. Houston's number five. You got Watson. Uh-huh. Minnesota's number six. You probably have to keep Kirk
because
of the money.
You're stuck right now with Kirk because you just gave him an extension. He's got two more years.
Cincinnati has Burrow, and there's Dallas at number eight. Mm. Now, depending upon what happens with Washington's football team, they're number nine. The Chargers are 10. They got their guy. You got to watch out for the Patriots. So I think the Pats will beat New York a few times, and they'll still get they won't be able to pick Fields or Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Trey Lance is in the conversation, too.
From North
Dakota State.
Dakota State. Listen, that is not crazy.
I'm just saying.
That is really not crazy.
You put some pressure on Dak's people to get the deal that you want done? I mean, I'm serious.
That is not crazy. The only thing you'd have to worry about is if there's a team that aggressively jumps from a spot now. I'm trying to think who might be a possible contender for this kind of a move. Well, the Patriots could move up. Denver can move up if they don't like Locke, and right now I'm not sure why they should.
Yeah.
Carolina's got Teddy. Not that he's great, but he's fine. Miami's got their guy. Vegas has Carr. Detroit probably one more year with Stafford.
Yep.
Niners have their guy.
Even though
Saints,
they could move off of him.
They could.
Because
they could.
He's tradable or cuttable after this season. Not that you would want to because he's actually playing good football, but.
Yeah. Teague, it's not a crazy thought. Not a crazy thought. I think at this point with Dallas, everything's on the table.
Without a doubt.
The way this is going to ride.
They're not winning anything this year.
Well, if you trade for Fitzpatrick, you could still win the division.
That's a good point. And that could happen. Now, the question is Miami going to give up Fitzpatrick?
I don't think that they would.
I wouldn't either if I was them.
No, I hear you. Do you call my team and say, give us Joe Flacco? Is Flacco even better than Dalton? But I mean, Dalton could be out a month with that hit.
Yeah.
So who knows? You call about Flacco?
Probably
not. He's got a good arm. He can throw it downfield.
He's not doing anything for you. He just feels, I don't know.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I watched him play twice. I know what you mean. I very much know what you mean. All right, update from Rich Ackerman. We'll hit you with the blast after that. A little something on the Bears and Rams tonight. Axe update right now. Here's Rich. All right. Take time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day before we get into the blast here. And as brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts, today's question is, you know, we got a lot. We got a couple on Twitter, a bunch on Facebook. You know, this guy seemed to have a little beef, and he was in early. I'm going to go with this one here, at PaulieRen80, and he sent this on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. He says, 70% completion, 300 yards plus 60 yards rushing, no touchdowns, but also no picks for Josh Allen. You say he had a bad game. That was me. It was kind of a drop in line here. So what's a good game for him? Well, you know, and I say that because I would amend the statement. I would modify. It wasn't a bad game for sure. I was lumping in the previous two with a relatively nondescript game where you don't score a touchdown against the worst team that I've seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I can't say that it was a really good game. So I guess I would leave it at that. Listen, I like Josh Allen. I do.
But not scoring a touchdown against the Jets is... That's confounding.
Should be illegal. I mean, really.
I agree.
Should come down to. So, but I get it. Sticking up for his boy. And Josh has earned that. I get it.
Win.
I like it.
He got the win.
He
did. That's all that matters.
That's true. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Tiki and Tierney here on this Football Monday. I want to remind you, matchup of two elite teams fighting for divisional supremacy when the Steelers bring the ironclad defense to take on the Ravens. That's in Baltimore for a battle with Lamar and the Ravens, plus a key AFC East showdown, the aforementioned Bills and the reeling Patriots. So join JB and the guys to get you set for all the day's action. Week 8 of the NFL today starts at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. So, I mean, we've had some doozies. We had the Titans and the Steelers yesterday. Mm-hmm. We've got the Steelers and the Ravens coming up. All good for us. And with that said, being said, T, you ready for a little blast? See what we cooked up here?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's get to it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, we start with Aaron Rodgers. Now, rough one a week ago against Tampa. Aaron Rodgers, no touchdowns, very uncharacteristic game. Did bounce back with 4 of them yesterday. No turnovers either. Very efficient in Green Bay's 35-20 win over Houston. Does yesterday's performance make us forget Rodgers' Week 6 performance?
Yeah, I mean, not, you know, in context, it doesn't, because you'll think about back to when they play good defense, and we know that, you know, Ndamukong Suh and Steve McClendon, who they just got from the Jets, and Jason Pierre-Paul and Levante David and Shaq Barrett, those guys, they did a number on Aaron Rodgers. The Houston Texans aren't nearly that good defensively. In fact, they've fallen so far down the list from where they were, you know, a few years ago. Does it make you forget it? Not really, but it just makes you appreciate. If you don't put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, he's going to chew you up, spit you out, then pick you up and eat you again.
I got you. If he's still hungry, I hear you.
That's what I mean.
Listen, I don't disagree. You know, he had a lot of time. A lot of these highlights that you saw, if you didn't watch the game in its entirety, a lot of open windows, a lot of big, almost like college windows where their space was...
Just standing back there like, okay, here we go. Got that one.
Yeah, little flick of the wrist, right?
Yep.
Davante Adams was great, 13 for $196, couple of touchdowns. Now, does it make me forget the Week 6 before? It doesn't make me forget it, only in this context. It did alter the MVP race for me a little bit.
Yes.
So I can't forget it. It's also, you know, one of the arguably 7 or 8 teams that have a chance to win something big. You know, the Steelers, the Ravens, I'm just no water, the Packers, the Seattle, the Chiefs, clearly.
Yep. Bucks.
Maybe the Saints. I don't like the Saints as much, but yeah, the Bucks. Probably eight of the Titans. I can't forget that. That was an ugly performance, but it's not like I thought that he was washed after. It was just one of those games that elevated how I viewed the Bucks. It didn't necessarily downgrade how I viewed Aaron Rodgers.
And it turned so quickly. You were like, he was shocked, just like we were shocked.
I thought he was resigned to the defeat, though. That bothered me a little bit.
Me too.
Okay. Notre Dame, get your Irish up. Longest active win streak in college football. They've ripped off 11 straight. Crushing Pittsburgh on Saturday. Why couldn't I have this game? Rough week for Sharp Tierney. Rough week. Really rough week. They beat Pitt 45-3. Now, the Irish held the Panthers to fewer than 175 yards of offense. How impressed are we with Brian Kelly and the Irish so far? Wasn't very impressed early. Gaining a little more impression favorably as the season goes on. You know, they opened up with Duke. They couldn't pull away from them. They didn't cover, not that the spread, but they didn't cover. I do remember because I had Duke in that game. And they didn't really flex with any big gash plays. I don't love their team speed. A little different against Pitt. They blitzed South Florida, beat them like 52-0. You know, this they're beginning to move in a direction that is far more impressive.
Yeah.
And Pitt's a decent program. Pitt's had a couple of tough losses. I was impressed, but I can't go bonkers. Pitt's not that big of a needle mover.
I'm moderately impressed with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish right now. I mean, they almost lost to Louisville. Louisville
had that game. That's right.
Louisville had that game until the last couple of minutes.
They were winning 7-6 with 3:50 to go in the third quarter in South Bend.
That's exactly right. Pittsburgh, I mean, it's one of those seasons for the Panthers, and it is what it is. Florida State, they beat South Florida and Duke. I mean, they haven't beaten anybody. Obviously, up next is Georgia Tech, who's a little bit of a pain in the butt to play.
Georgia Tech stinks. I know. Boston College beat them by 20. Georgia Tech stinks.
And then Clemson. So Clemson's the team they're going to look forward to. Georgia Tech might be the issue because they might be looking past them. Ian Books played pretty well. I'll give them that. He's only got one interception on the season, and as a, you know, I think he's a redshirt senior now. He's got tons of experience, and Williams, a running back, he's pretty good also. But I mean, they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. I can't, like, you know, shout to the mountaintops that they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we do a little shouting for BYU. They got to get a little respect. They crushed, not that Texas State's going to bring all the respect in the world, but BYU's rolling. They beat Texas State 52-14. They're now 6-0. They've moved up to 11 in the country in the latest AP poll. Now, the Cougars are putting up 45 a game this season. Does BYU's offense get the credit it deserves? The answer is no.
Well, if you watch them, they do, because the Zach Wilson is a stud. This young quarterback, I forget what year he is. What is he? He's a junior.
I thought he
was younger, but yeah, he is. I thought he was younger for some reason, but he's a junior. Zach Wilson's got 16 touchdown passes on the season already, BT, and a lot of them are going to Dax Milne, who is just a blazer. He's unassuming. He looks like, who's this kid? And he runs by you. You know what I mean?
By unassuming, do you mean a little white kid?
Yeah, exactly. Runs by. He's 6 foot tall, 185 pounds.
And
he's running by you down the field. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, crap. Uh-huh. And he beats you for a touchdown. So Zach to Dax has been, you know, pretty amazing at BYU. So if you've watched them, they're not under, you know, getting shorted. I think they're given the credit they deserve.
Yeah, but they beat Texas State 52-14. Yeah, and you're not going, and nor should you. Not that,
true.
Listen, it doesn't mean that you couldn't score on decent to good defenses, but until you do it, a school like BYU, even though all that pedigree, certainly from our childhood, McMahon, the 80s, you know, I guess, was that the Holiday Bowl? One of those crazy, but independent, I think it was the Holiday Bowl, whatever it was. They've had some real, real moments, obviously. BYU is a good program, but for you to get thrust into, you know, that prodigious category, you got to flash on the big stage, and they haven't had a chance to do that yet. So I'm not marginalizing the weapons, but I am putting perspective into who they've done it against, Teak. All right, NBA. The NBA is proposing a schedule for next season. This is a little bit of a surprise. I read this yesterday, and the timeline seems to be sped up, which I'm good with, because the earlier the NBA comes back, you know, I'm all right with that. Where it would actually start, this newest version would start before Christmas, right around the 22nd of December. They kind of have pegged as a fluid opening night, including 72 games, a play-in tournament, no All-Star game. What are our thoughts? Well,
I prefer that, actually.
You prefer? Well, go ahead, take it first. Take it first.
So I prefer this idea, because I thought the play-in, it wasn't really a play-in, whatever, the eight-game regular...
The restart,
whatever they called it in the bubble.
The restart.
That was like a race to try to make the postseason was really interesting. And you saw, the problem with the regular season, BT, and you know this, is that there's too many games where guys are like, okay, whatever. right? But when you got when they were in the bubble, you saw like Devin Booker and you know some of these other stars, you know these young stars playing with a different urgency, because they could feel the importance of that specific moment as opposed to like a random game at the end of we're out of the playoff picture by 10 games. It doesn't even matter. Right, you just saw a different urgency that came from those eight games that were in the bubble, and I loved it. And you saw some guys rise to occasions,
rise up,
that you didn't expect them to see. And so yeah. I think it was good for basketball. So I love this, and the All-Star Game does nothing for me.
I love the NBA All-Star Game. I always have, but without 20,000 people there, and the 3-point shootout, and the dunk contest, and the fan reaction. That obviously drops down.
What's the point, right? It's like pick up basketball. Let's go to the park. Actually, that would be more interesting.
I know. Right? It drops down.
I mean, instead of an All-Star game with no fans, just go to Rucker Park, man.
We'll pick up West 4th or Rucker. I think that, first of all, anything, the earlier it comes back, I love it. So when I saw it before Christmas, because I thought it was going to be 2021 for sure, I'm like, nice, NBA's coming back this calendar year. I love it. 72 games is something I would sign off for forever. I would absolutely do that. 72 is much better than 82. You've got to be adaptable, as we've said, during a pandemic. So if you want to do a play-in tournament, I'm cool with that. And no All-Star game. I don't know if I love... I know we've talked about this. I don't know if I love a play-in tournament. I want to see how it goes. I want to see what it looks like. And I could be persuaded. I'm not that rigid where I'm like, no. But the other things, I absolutely like.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
We got BT. BT, real quick. We didn't get to this one. It's the fifth one. Justin Gaethje, who we really like.
Oh, Gaethje's a beast.
He got beat by Khabib Nurmagomedov this weekend.
He's still the beast.
And Nurmagomedov is retiring. His father, we all remember, died from COVID suddenly. And he said he didn't want to fight anymore without his father in his corner. Now, Khabib will not get to fight Conor again, and that's disappointing in a sense, but not really. Khabib beat him, and it's an emotional moment for him. Maybe he changed his mind on the line, but Khabib might go down as the greatest UFC fighter ever, undefeated champion, and pretty amazing.
He is a machine.
A machine, fighting and bears and stuff.
I know. Hopefully he's at peace with his decision.
Yes.
Can't fault the man for not wanting to fight anymore, that's for sure.
No doubt.
I think the Bears hang around tonight. I think the Bears play well.
Me too.
We'll see. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. Safe, sensible, sane. Be well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.